The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov. Good morning. How are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, starting the week off with some quite strange news. What is the story about the South African, Miss South Africa, who apparently has been shunned by the government because of the fact that she wants to participate in the Miss Universe in Eilat, which we've already discussed as being very 70s. But even so,
I suddenly found myself a big supporter of beauty pageants. Nevertheless, yes, the South African government, in a desperate need to still be relevant and to divert attention away from its own failure, has chosen this as an item. That said, the government never really supported it in any event. It's not as though they gave money to it. It's not as though they did anything actively to support Miss South Africa. So it's really just very, very simply a statement.
It's just taking a position, right? Mm. I mean, this has been reported in Israeli press. And the quotation that's come from the South African government about atrocities committed by Israel against Palestinians, apparently, which are well documented. Apparently the government, as the legitimate representative of the people of South Africa, cannot in good conscience associate itself with the decision by Miss South Africa to participate at Miss Universe. Mm. I mean,
given the last election, I'm not sure why the ANC even thinks that they represent a South Africa, but that's another story completely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's local politics in this as well, but also, for some reason, the need by the South African government to take an opportunity to support the Palestinian cause. The strange thing for me is that this whole sort of outward supporting of the Palestinian cause, doesn't seem to necessarily have been received particularly well by the Palestinian side themselves. They're saying nothing about this. They have not criticized the Miss Universe organizers for arranging the pageant in Eilat. None of that has been said. I noticed that there's been no attempts by, you know, BDS or other boycott organizations to come out loudly saying this is not okay and everybody should boycott and get your placards out and stand on street corners and make sure that your most beautiful people don't come to Eilat. I haven't seen any of those actions. This seems to be just like an isolated incident, opportunistic, call it what you want,
bandwagonism. It's bandwagonism. And we've spoken about this. I did speak about this earlier. South Africa has had a horrendous history with turning its back on countries and people who need them. The Zimbabwe situation, case in point, where Zimbabweans have been starved and deprived of humanitarian rights for many, many years. And South Africa very, very famously said, we don't interfere in the domestic affairs of another country. They've never condemned China for the Uyghur Muslim treatment. They've never condemned Iran for hanging gay people. When Omar al-Bashir, a war criminal with a warrant out for his arrest by Interpol, came to South Africa, the government protected him and spirited him out of the country rather than helping Interpol see him face justice. We see this over and over and over again. It can't provide basic services like electricity, like water, like employment to its own people, and yet it thinks that it has can take a moral stand against Israel when it fails, and it chooses to fail, to understand absolutely nothing about that situation. The hypocrisy is staggering, absolutely staggering, and unfortunately shows the ANC for who they are.
So maybe the city of Eilat should be delighted that they're getting this publicity surrounding this universe,
because I'm not sure anyone would care otherwise.
A very, very strange decision. I mean, another strange incident that took place just very briefly was almost like a brawl that took place outside a hospital in Be'er Sheva yesterday, surrounding two Bedouin families, apparently, with representatives of the families in the hospital, and the families somehow came together outside of the hospital. Some people were arrested by police for violence outside the hospital. Groups of family members marauding outside the hospital, attacking each other. There were even reports of shots being fired. Obviously a long-standing family feud going on between those two Bedouin families from Rahat. outside the hospital yesterday in Be'er Sheva. That was not a good place for something to happen. But anyway, it seems as if the police have taken hold of that. And we can move on to some more important things to talk about.
Yeah, crazy. A diplomatic row is brewing with Turkey, and that's over the arrest of an Israeli company who is accused of spying. Tell us more about the story.
So this is a couple that were ostensibly on a just tourists in Istanbul, and who it is claimed took a photograph of the presidential palace, which was considered to be inappropriate or considered to be a little bit too intrusive. And according to the Israeli press, at least, have been arrested as a result of that. They were actually brought before a court, I think, on Friday. And the court decided that this couple should remain in custody for at least another 20 days. There are so many strange things about the story. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, the way that the Israeli press have presented it is that it was just an incident, an innocent incident, which anybody could have been involved in. According to the press, there are clearer pictures of the presidential palace on Google Earth. Why would you bother to pick up a tourist couple who were on some sort of an observation platform, which is apparently quite a tall observation platform, and therefore you can't help but looking down from there into whatever surrounds that area. And it so happens that the presidential palace is one of the local properties that surround this observation platform, and it's the most logical thing in the world to take pictures of the surrounding area, and in this particular case, the surrounding area included the presidential palace. So that's the way the story is being presented in the Israeli press. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has made a statement in the Knesset saying this is an innocent couple, innocent tourists. There's nothing that should be suspicious about them. The Turks are quite adamant that these are spies for Israel, and they have retained them in custody. However, this has not got to the level where it's escalating up the line. In other words, we don't see President Erdogan of Turkey making public statements about Israel and how it's intruding on Turkey and how spies are running around the country. And we're not seeing the prime minister or any members of the Israeli government making inflammatory remarks about how ridiculous this situation is and how could it be that Turkey have arrested this couple who were just simply innocent tourists. For me, there's a lot more to this particular story than meets the eye. And I don't know exactly what it is, whether there might be some validity to the claim that they were spying, whether they are trying somehow to avoid this escalating into a major diplomatic incident. It is already something of a diplomatic incident. We understand that not only the Prime Minister's office, but the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as well as the President's office, are all behind the scenes working to try to release Natalie and Mordi Vardin, who are apparently residents of Mordi in Israel. Some photographs have been published in the press of their trip to Istanbul before they were arrested. I don't know what to make of the story, to be honest. It just seems very, very strange. And it doesn't seem to me like the Turks are trying to use this just to create an incident, because, you know, they're very good at doing that. And they've certainly had a lot of things that they've used in the past. Some people thought that it might be related to a motion that was passed through the Knesset regarding some other issues, diplomatic issues, some genocides that Turkey might have been involved in, which has been a matter for discussion. Armenian genocide has been a matter that's been discussed in the Knesset before. It's not the first time that this is an issue that has been discussed in the Knesset. It's never, ever come into law. So people are saying, well, it's not really related to that. But there is definitely something very, very strange about this story. And I don't even know that we're going to find out what ultimately the story is. In other words, if for some reason they come before the courts and they're sentenced to a lengthy jail sentence, which is being touted as a possibility in the press that I've read, I don't think we're ever going to really know what lies behind that. And if they simply get released within the next few days and return to Israel, I also don't think we'll really ever get to know what exactly was going on behind the scenes here. So a very, very strange story for me.
It really is. And as you say, I'm not even sure we ever really will know what went on here. Israel's new ambassador to the United States has taken up office. Who is the new ambassador?
The new ambassador to the United States is Michael Herzog, a former military brigadier general, and just so turns out, is also the older brother of our president, Buzi Herzog.
Wow.
Now, it sounds a little bit like promoting family interests here, because within a very short period of time of Yitzhak Buzi Herzog taking over as president, his older brother Michael has been appointed by Prime Minister Naftali Bennett to take up the role as ambassador to the United States. However, when you look independently at Ambassador Michael Herzog's credentials, then you would be entirely convinced that in his own right, he has every reason to be appointed as Israel's ambassador to the United States. Not only did he have a very, very distinguished career, military career, ultimately retiring with the rank of brigadier general. He retired already 11 years ago from the military, but he's also had senior positions under various defense ministers, played a key role in Israel's negotiations with Palestinians, with Syrians, with Jordanians dating back to 1993. And he was also an international fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Here is a man who really knows a thing or two about Israel's relations within the Middle East area. He's something of an expert on all of that. And of course, he comes from a very distinguished family, his brother being the president, his father having been the ambassador to the United Nations, Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and also, of course, former president of Israel. His grandfather was the chief rabbi of Ireland and also the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel. His uncle, Abba Eben, of course, was also a distinguished diplomat. So here's a man who comes from almost like a royal family in Israeli terms of diplomats, of people who have served Israel and who've had distinguished careers. So we're looking forward to seeing what Ambassador Michael Herzog is able to do for Israel's interests in the United States. He's recently just departed and taken up his post there. And of course, he has a very fascinating role to play now within the Biden administration, because just another little incident that's happening around this time is the U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, is due to come to Israel to have discussions, negotiations, call it what you will, before he actually enters into the direct talks with Iran, which are apparently expected to begin later this month. So Robert Malley will be coming to Israel to meet with senior members of the Israeli government to talk about the U.S. government's approach to discussions with Iran. What we also know is that former U.S. ambassador to Israel, Dan Shapiro, is an advisor to the U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley. So we have some different kinds of input going into this particular team. It's not exactly clear what the U.S.'s strategy is going to be in picking up its talks with Iran, but I'm guessing that our new ambassador, Michael Herzog, will be very much involved in trying to help shape exactly how that all goes down.
Anthony, I've seen a lot of people posting on social media about new post. Is this now when it happens? Because I'm seeing people saying off to join the diplomatic mission in Denmark and here and there. Is this when it all starts?
Well, I don't know if it's when it all starts as much as it's just starting, because we finally have a new government which is putting these wheels of government into place. So many appointments had been delayed because we didn't have the various committees set up in order to make decisions about who would be appointed where. So many people had had their terms just extended over and over again because there was no decision making going on.
So in other words, now that it can be sorted, it is being. So it's not that
exactly.
It's traditionally this time of the year or whatever it would be.
Yeah, I don't think it's a particular, there's traditionally any time of year where these types of appointments are made. I mean, it may well be after the summer period, you know.
Yeah.
In Israel, we do have this notion of, you know, once the summer holiday period is over, it's almost like, you know, in the southern hemisphere, like a January start. After summer, everybody gets back from their summer holidays and work begins. And here we've got a similar situation. Let's say after the Chagim, we have our summer holidays, we have the Chagim, and then we really need to get on and do some work before Hanukkah interrupts things. So, I think that because that's probably early, what we see.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, it is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.